Today on Real Radio.
Revival of conviction. Believer, God loves you so much. He loves me so much. His desire is to get you into heaven. He's going to convict the believer on a continuous basis. And that is a form of revival. That's a good, good thing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You That You Are Going to Heaven Part 3, continues now in his series called Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences, but how do these beliefs actually stack up to Scripture? Well, this series will help us discern the voices and opinions of these days from the truth of God's Word. In Part 1 and Part 2 of this message, we learned that the gospel of God is our only access to heaven. There is no other gospel and no other message. Jesus Christ was sent from heaven to earth to die on a cross for our sins and was resurrected from the dead to redeem us. He then ascended back into heaven so the Holy Spirit could come to guide us and give witness of our conversion to Christ. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that if we have truly given our life to Christ, we cannot lose our salvation. And the proof of our conversion is an increased passion and an ongoing conviction to obey Christ and His Word. And now, continuing in his lesson called Who Told You That You're Going to Heaven Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The person that hears, the person that understands, is the person that bears fruit. We don't know to what degree. The Bible doesn't say what yours is, but the Bible does say produces fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. What does that mean? That means, listen, some people produce, listen, if God has ordained you to produce 60 buckets worth of fruit, that's what you're supposed to do. Your 60 buckets is 100%. Don't be a 60 bucket person trying to be a 100 bucket person. I'm just trying to get Billy Graham to retire and I'll do it. Retire Billy Graham, I'll take it from here. No, that's not your calling. That's not my calling. Find out what your calling is and be faithful to that. Okay, don't try to be somebody else. God wants you to do your thing. But here's the deal. The believer is very burdened and concerned about being faithful to God and producing fruit. Fruit, what are you talking about? How does that happen? Is there a class for that? Is there an app for that? Listen, if you leave either side of this sanctuary today, you go out the middle aisle, you're going to fall into the water. You go out to the side, you're going to bump into orange trees. You walk by those orange trees on your way to your car today, what do you hear from those orange trees? They're like this, right? And there's oranges on them. There's a bazillion blossoms on them because it's springtime. What do you hear? Do you put on the stethoscope and you put it on the trunk? You're listening. Put it on an orange. What do you hear? Nothing. You want to know why? It's an orange tree. It's an orange tree planted in the ground. It's an orange tree planted in the ground producing blossoms and oranges. Why? It's an orange tree. Orange trees make oranges. You don't hear it going, oh. Oh, okay, now I gotta get these big oranges out there. It does none of that. It's an orange tree. It's in the ground. It's taking in sun, taking in nutrients. It's an orange tree. Oranges come out. As long as it stays in the ground, it's going to be producing oranges. That's what it does. You want a lemon tree? Go down the road. That's an orange tree. Okay, this summer, there's olive trees right there. There'll be olives there. But you're not going to get olives from the oranges and oranges from the olives. Jesus is saying you get fruit from the believers. Believers will bear fruit, and John chapter 15 says their fruit will abide. It'll be fruit that continues on. How much fruit? We don't know. Listen, you want to be encouraged? The thief on the cross. How fruitful is that guy's life and ministry? He wakes up that morning cussing, gets crucified, yelling at Jesus on the cross. Can you imagine? don't believe in you. Boy, you sure got yourself messed up. And then he starts thinking, come to think about it, he hasn't done anything. I'm the criminal. I get what's right for me. This is weird. Jesus, he calls out, Jesus, will you remember me? And Jesus turns and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. The man, there's no word of repentance. There doesn't have to be a word of repentance. It's obvious the guy repented. Jesus says, you're saved. Today you'll be with me in paradise. You see, you want to talk about fruit? Look at the fruit in that man's life. How many deathbed conversions have stuck because of that guy's last minute conversion? Listen, are you a little bit nervous now about this challenge where the Bible clearly says, Jesus says you'll know them by their fruit? Jesus says the believer produces fruit? Listen, all of us should be dead serious right now about fruit production. What kind of life am I living? Does it honor God? Are others affected? Can somebody walk by and pick fruit from my life and eat it and be healthier? Question. What evidence is there that I'm going to heaven? Answer. John 10, verse 27. Listen carefully. Watch this. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I know them, he says, Jesus. They, what? Follow me. So you ask yourself, is my heart to follow Jesus? I give them eternal life. Wait, read again. Verse 28. I give them long life. Is that what it says? I give them a good life. I give them a really, 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 no. How long is it? Eternal life. It means you're not going to lose this next week. Amen. And they shall almost nearly, sometimes maybe not, perish. What does it say? Never perish. Neither shall anyone. Who? Anyone. Snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who is greater, has given, gifted to Jesus, them to me. He is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Wow. Question. If I'm truly a born-again Christian, as Jesus said, can I be unborn again? In other words, can I be saved and then unsaved? Answer, 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. I love when Paul gets sassy, and this is one of those moments. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, for I know, you can almost hear it with an attitude, for I know. That's about as sassy as I can get. For I know, I know. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able. Notice, I know, listen carefully, watch. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that I am good enough to get into heaven on my own. Nope. He is able to keep what I've committed to him until or against that day. What does that mean? Paul is saying, I have given Christ my life, and he's the one that's able to get me all the way through to the end, and I have no worries about that final day. Wow. Here's the deal. Can you be saved and then unsaved? Because it sure seems like it. I saw this guy and I read this book and I went up, you know, stop, read your Bible. Understand something. When the Bible says you're born again, it doesn't say you can be unborn again. If the Bible says you have salvation, nowhere does it say you lose your salvation. Don't you think that, by the way, don't you think that'd be an important topic to make super clear in the Bible if it can be lost? Fred 1:1. Be careful, everybody. You can have salvation and then wind up losing it if you're not careful. Don't you think God would have said it if it was such a big deal? God is saying this, make your calling and your election sure. What does that mean? Listen, have you heard the gospel? Did you respond to the gospel? Now do everything you can to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Dive in. Don't go to the pool, put your toe in the pool, get in the pool. Think about it. Dead serious. You can't lose your salvation if you have it. A lot of people running around today think they got it. And they fool us and we think they got it. And then they go right back to living with Bubbles again or wrestling with Rocky, and they left their wife and husband, and it's like, oh man, dude, my... And they have no conviction. They don't have no whim, no nothing. It's all right. Or they live a life that eventually, as Jesus said, they wind up giving up on Christ altogether. How are you going to know? Fruit production, enduring trials, difficulties, hardships, heartbreaks, sticking with Christ. Paul says that he was persuaded, absolutely persuaded. What about this? Can I experience God? Or is that just a theoretical thing? And you know, how secure am I? I believe not only that the Bible says exactly what it says, I believe what the Bible says can be experienced. I just had to make that clear. Some people say today, no, it's all about experience. I don't care what the Bible says. I got this goosebump on my back. I feel it. I feel it, so it's true. You're crazy, man. That's why it's true, because you feel it? Well, then, you guess what? I feel this, and my feeling's bigger than yours. So now that changes. No, it's not feeling. Listen. But listen, when you encounter truth, and it gives you a feeling, that's fine. Your feeling's founded on truth. It can't change the truth. Listen, your born-again friend can say, I know the same thing, but I don't get no feeling. Have you ever been to church service? This used to drive me nuts. I used to be in a church service where a friend of mine, every song we were singing at Calvary Costa Mesa, he's crying. I lift my hands unto thee, Lord. Oh, Jesus, you're amazing. He's crying about everything. And I'm like this. I'm like this. And I go, just forget it. He's bawling. And then you know what I concluded? That guy loves God. I don't even love God. Clearly, I don't. He's all over it. And I'm like this. Decades later, that guy completely walked away from God. I'm not saying if you cry when you worship. The point is, it's not emotion. But your emotions don't make it true. And here's one of those passages where I don't feel much about it, but I just go, Romans 8, verses 38 to 39. Romans 8, take this to the bank. Spurgeon said, cash it. Romans 8, 38 and 39, Paul says again, for I am persuaded. Do you hear that? I'd like to see him say that. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, that's from above, nor principalities, nor powers, those are dark, fallen, demon, angel world, nor things present in front of you today, nor things to come, all the stuff I worry about. Nope. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. How many of you were created? Raise your hand. You're created? Great. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boom. That verse, listen, you should check on those two verses in the Bible a couple times a week. Make sure they're still there. How secure am I? Totally secure. Why? Because I'm born again. How do you know? Because God is bringing fruit out of my life. How does that happen? Just hanging out with Jesus, it happens. It's having your feet in the soil of the word, and he brings it out so that I can't say anything about it. He just does it. When he does do it, I go, wow, God, thanks. That's amazing. Thank you for allowing me just to be in the area of watching this happen. And he turns to me and he says, just stay with me. Just watch. You ain't see nothing there. Just stay with me. And then I turn to him and I say, yes, Lord. Keep me close even, Jesus. Don't let me wander. You grab me by the ear. If I start drifting off, just get me in the nose and pull me along if you have to. The heart of the believer, listen, like that little boy. You want to go that way or run to Jesus? What is your decision? What would you say? Don't say publicly. It's irrelevant. Internally, what would you say if you say, I'd run to him? Good. And then we conclude with the last two short, but I think powerful things. The proof, the external proof of your conversion is seen in the second argument, and that is there's an increasing passion to obey God. Do you want to obey God? Or are you constantly just goofing off to see how you can still be a Christian and get as close to the fence as possible? I'm a Christian, but I just want to have one foot in the world. This side is 72 degrees, and this side's on fire. Listen, if you're goofing around like that, Christian, knock it off. Find out. Get as close to him as you possibly can via or through obedience to him. If you hear the word obey God and you go, oh, what? Obey God? Don't tell me that. You got a problem. But if you understand that when God says, hey, obey me and live. If you hear him say, obey me, do my commands. Guess what? If you know him, you know he loves you. He wants what's really good for you. Final thing. What is the evidence of true conversion? Is that there's an ongoing revival of conviction. Can you write that down? There'll be an ongoing revival of conviction. What does that mean? The believer who's growing with Jesus, who's born again, and all the things that he or she does in life, feeds the kids, does the company, works the thing, goes on vacation, wakes up, goes to bed, everything in between, it's all with Jesus. Jesus is there with him or her all along the way, not Sunday, and even not Wednesday, but every day. Okay, are you with me? He's your life. And you don't have to go home tonight and at 7 o'clock put him in a closet because you're going to do something else. He's with you all the time. If you're his, if he's yours. And so listen, an ongoing revival of conviction is when you and I do step out of line, and we do, the Lord says, hey, Jack, over here. Over here. I was driving this week somewhere, I forget, down to OC for something. And right in the middle of the day, this guy's weaving in the road in front of me. And I'm thinking, okay, if this guy keeps doing this, I'm going to call like 911 because he's going to kill somebody. And so I'm thinking, well, my car is like, I was in my truck, so it's like 10 times bigger than the thing he was driving. So I'm thinking, well, I'm safe. I'm going to pull up alongside him. See what's going on in there. Of course, you know exactly what was going on in there. Two thumbs and driving the steering wheel with the knee. Okay. And I'm thinking, dude, you ought to obey. You ought to obey and live. You ought to be careful with that. An ongoing revival of conviction. Believer, God loves you so much. He loves me so much. His desire is to get you into heaven. And so listen, he's going to convict the believer on a continuous basis. And that is a form of revival. That's a good, good thing. I want to show you a picture of a man. His name's Charlie Peace. He's the inspiration behind some horror films and even the writings of Doyle, the guy Doyle, the author of Sherlock Holmes. He's going to be hung to death in London. He was a notorious serial killer, started out with stealing, and actually tortured some people. He had some fatal attractions, very horrible man. And I want to read you something in closing, and I want you to think about this for a moment, because as a believer, what's the takeaway to this? As a believer, as we near the end of our lives or the end of the age, have we been converted to the point that the souls of other people matter to us? Do we care about the lost? Go ahead and leave that. I read, on the morning of his execution, Peace, Charlie Peace, ate a hearty breakfast of bacon and calmly awaited the coming of the public executioner, a William Marwood, inventor of what has become known as the long drop. He was escorted on the death walk by the prison chaplain, who was reading out loud from the Consolations of Religion about the hells or the fires of hell. Church historian and revivalist Leonard Ravenhill recounts that the clergyman visiting Peace for the final 2 weeks of his life, that's what England did in those days. It's brilliant, by the way. It should be done everywhere in the world, in my opinion. In England, if you were condemned to death, you had 2 weeks to live. 2 weeks, period, 2 weeks. You, condemned to death, 2 weeks to live. Every day, they send a clergyman in to preach the gospel to you every day for 2 weeks. If you accept Christ or not, you die at the end of the 2 weeks. It's called justice and mercy. So while visiting Peace for the final 2 weeks of his life, the clergyman mumbled through the scriptures as though he had marbles in his mouth. There was no passion in the presentation of the gospel, and certainly there seemed to be no concern for the condemned man's soul. Peace burst out, "If I believed what you in the church of God say that you believe, even if England were covered with broken glass from coast to coast, I would walk over it, if need be, on hands and knees, and think it worthwhile living just to save one soul from an eternal hell like that." And Charlie Peace was hung to death. Did he go into hell? I have no idea. But that pastor sure helped him get to hell if he went there, mumbling the words of eternal life like it didn't matter. And that condemned man was listening. And maybe somebody's here today and they're thinking, are you Christians? You guys are nuts, man. If hell was real, you'd knock my front door down to tell me about it. We are implements and instruments of his salvation.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You That You're Going to Heaven, Part 3. Thanks for listening. And when you truly give your life to Christ, eternal life in heaven is secure in Him. Who Told You That You're Going to Heaven, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven and salvation. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Today was day 3 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, you know, around here at Real Radio, we work real hard to provide tools and resources to help you grow in your walk with God, and we think you're really going to like the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. It gives you tons of resources right there at your fingertips. This ministry, quite frankly, values your time, and hopefully you do too, so why don't you use some of that time with the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Tons of video and content available for you, like the Real Life TV broadcast, the Real Radio daily audio broadcasts, and Pastor Jack's weekly devotions right there. I hope you already have the Real Life app on your smartphone or tablet, but if you don't, go to your app store and get it, the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. You know, we don't spend a lot of time asking you for your hard-earned money to help support this program, but we'd just like you to know that we are completely backed by you, our listeners. Thank you for your continued support. And if you'd like to donate to this ministry, you can do that at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and find out how you can financially support this ministry. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.